Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Missing. So I hope you haven't missed out because I have been trying to record these, edit these, and get these all in. You know what? I'm not going to make any excuses. You're going to get them when you get them. But just know that I love recording and I love watching horror films, especially now that we are in October. I am so excited to get this kicked off, especially with a new and improved horror film that came out this week. It was more like a thriller, but still really good, called Missing, found on Netflix. Just a little bit of information of this movie, if you didn't know this. It's from the same creators who did the movie Searching. Basically, same story, just flipped of the person who's missing. So in Searching, we have a father looking for her daughter, and the daughter ends up going missing. And so the father, through his, of course, device, so his laptop, his phone, and everything, we see all the things that he does to research and locate where the daughter is located. Now, on this story, again, it's vice versa. We instead of having the daughter disappear, we have the mother disappear. And so we have the daughter, who is very well equipped with technology. She ends up being able to locate and find all these different clues that you need to have to in order to figure out where her mother is, which I thought was really good. The storyline was really good. It flowed very well, and the emotions between all of it just kept you wanting to find out where she was. The Searching movie is not bad. I'm not gonna talk bad about it, and I haven't really covered it in here just because it wasn't one that I was like, I may cover it again and we can talk about it. It had a pretty good storyline. The delivery of it was very slow, so it was just hard for me to kind of like get to, like, I'm just like, Gara, you know, like that Monty Python, like, get on with it, you know. It kind of felt like that to me when I was watching it. However, this one, it was just getting on to, like, okay, where could it be? Where could she have gone? I always had, you know, like, I was like thinking to myself, maybe that's the person who took it, or there's something amiss, or, you know, that we haven't seen here. So I thought it was really good, and I love the twist ending, how it just all brought it in, and we ended up finding out just exactly what happened. But before I get into any more of that information, let's go ahead and hit the theme song, and then let's talk about it.
Scare easily, avoiding all the scary horror movies you'll never watch but are intrigued to. Geo and Alex watch and review, so you don't have to. So you don't have to.
All right, so we get this whole concept of this movie asking ourselves one question only. Where would we be without technology? Now, you understand there's been missing people, and there still currently are missing people, even with the technology we have. But back in the days when someone would go missing, I think it was so rough to find them because you had to go through so much paper trail. You had to figure things out, go to different locations. And in this opportunity now, we have a computer in our hands. And luckily, this young lady, at least, or Junebug, right? And we're going to call her that but Junebug at least had the ability to have her laptop always on, her being able to iMessage. Thank you to the sponsor of Apple. you can tell that was they're totally the ones who funded that. But just the way that she was able to communicate with her friends, check everything from her laptop, is actually something that's been really good and bad at the same time when it comes to how technology has really improved. Because one, it gives you the opportunity to be able to control everything in your aspect. You can, you know, talk to people, you can research things, you can do your homework, you can watch what you want to watch, you can create projects, you can check who's at your front door. So you have all these things. However, then you get the negative side of it, the cause and effect, or, you know, the bad part of it is that someone then can hack you. They can see all that information. They can check all your messages. They can see your passwords. They can hack you. And so we get the pro and con of us being able to manage and keeping us safe, but as well as how well are we keeping ourselves safe when it comes to security and all that stuff. So we get this mother and daughter, and the beginning of it, I loved it because you see at the beginning, you see the dad who seemed kind of sick, hence like the whole story being that he passed away. And just all the information that comes from like grief and how to deal with certain sicknesses and things like that. Like everything to just cover the tracks that, you know, like how to deal with someone who is terminally ill. So I love how it focuses on just how this storyline is going to go back to the beginning of why did she cut that video? Why was there searching of certain things, and why did it all go through a file that to her daughter, and then all her other accounts got deleted, Facebook, you know, Google, you know, everything, every other account that the mother had got deleted, right? Leaves us to wonder what really was going on. Now, I loved how in order for us to focus on how this crime or how the movie was going to kind of go through was it showed like the disappearances or criminal cases that were introduced by a film, right? It was like she was watching a show and it talked about how, you know, these certain cases happened and it, you know, like the father, maybe the father killed the daughter or so and so. So you see like this kind of like documentary story coming through, which allowed us to be able to see that they had in their mind that kind of questioning of, okay, if my mom wasn't here at this time, where would I go? So it really made it good to have it all go through, you know, through to understand how Junebug was able to really kick it up a notch to locate all the stuff that she needed and even find help in a different country in order to do that, right? Now, I love it. I imagine my daughters will do the same as Junebug when they get to their teen years, where they're going to pretend to write something where I tell them, hey, can you write this down? Because I know you're going to forget it. And they're just going to forget to do that, right? And so that was the one thing where I was just like, yeah, I can totally see this happening in the coming years as my girls start going into their teen years. I'm like, so that's going to be fun. But my biggest question that came on to this was, who keeps their FaceTime app open 24/7? Like, that's the reason why we were able to see her image and like her, what was like her camera, because she had that app open the whole time. But who in the right mind keeps it open the whole time? Like, if you're not going to call someone, you normally have it closed. The one that you do have open most of the times, if you have a MacBook, is your iMessages, because you can message directly. It's just perfect enough, right? Like you don't really have to look at your phone. So it's, yeah, for me, it's very convenient. I can be doing something on my computer and then also when someone sends me a message, you know, a text message, oh, I can see that. Okay, cool. Message back, whatevs. But the fact that she kept it open the whole time, which was great for the movie, right? We were able to see just the aspect of where she was at, her emotions, all that stuff. But again, I don't think a lot of people would really do that. So, and if you do that, tell me, I would want to know the reason why. I would just want to know why. Like, oh, I keep it on because I'm always constantly using it. Makes sense. Or I keep it on because I look at myself all the time. I don't know. A little bit pretentious. But I would just want to know why if you do that. If not, if you're like one regular person who pulls it up when they need to use it and then like closes it after, great. I feel like that's the normality of it. But keeping it open the whole time would just be ridiculous. Now, I love the fact that most of her motivation to find her mom, other than loving her mom, was regretting not to say what she really wanted to say when the mom was leaving. She was angry at the mom, you know, like she didn't want to be babysat. She's 18 years old. She doesn't need this. And the mom was just trying to be a good mom, especially with the trauma that the mom came through. Obviously, the mom didn't tell her. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But the mom tried to do everything possible to keep her safe. And she just got angry with it. And instead of telling her, I love you too, mom, she just gave a thumbs up. And I know for a fact that's the reason why she's like, I got to find my mom. There's something wrong, because that guilt was so huge that she just could not weigh away or like get it out of her mind that the last thing she said to her mom was thumbs up. Right. So that, of course, was the reason why we should always be careful what we say. Regretting to not say what we really want to say can really haunt us. And I would suggest always be more willing to say the things. If they're nice, say the nice things. If they're rude and things, keep them to yourself. Like, no one gives a fuck what you're going to say. But everything else, say, be nice about it, right? If all the nice things, that I love you, that I miss you, that I'm always thinking about you, those things, say them. The rest, just learn to deal with it, right? And so I know for a fact that kept her onto the, oh, shoot, I gotta do right behind my mom. But, of course, she did everything like against her mom, right? No parties, no drinking, no X, Y, and Z's. And of course, she did all the opposite and did it all. Now, what I like about is that her friends are like, are you okay? Are you okay? But her like binge drinking was the biggest clue that she is not fine. Obviously, it's Father's Day. Her father had passed away, you know, quotations or whatever you call those, right? And so she obviously was feeling down. The fact that they were holding a party, and the friends were like, are you sure about this? And she's like, yeah. Like, 100% I would be like, look, you know, bro, lady, chick, whatever. Like, if it were my friend, I would be like, look, I get how you're feeling. Or I don't get how you're feeling, because obviously my dad hasn't passed away. But, like, this is a really rough time for you, and I highly doubt we should be doing a party. Let's do something different. Let's commemorate his memory by, you know, watching old videos. Like, I don't know. Like, doing something where it makes Father's Day seem a lot better for her, but she's like, no, I want to get shit faced, right? and then in the end, she wakes up and has to figure out, like, oh, I gotta go pick up my mom. And that's where, you know, the shit gets real, right? The mom doesn't show up. She's trying to call the mom. She is trying to figure out what's going on, and what I thought was kind of interesting is, like, she didn't call the airline to say, hey, did these people get on board? Because I believe it would be easy to do that, and I'm not sure if it would consist of any, like, privacy in that, but I feel like she could have been like, hey, my mom was supposed to be on this flight, you know, number so-and-so. I want to see if they were able, they got boarded, because they haven't arrived. I'm here in LAX, you know, kind of just giving the spiel. I bet they could have been like, oh, yeah, no, they didn't, you know, they didn't get on, because, you know, they get scanned to get on. So they you would obviously know. And that way she could have been like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that way when she calls the hotel, she's already aware that, okay, if she didn't scan, they may have stayed. So then she could have then been like, hey, are they still there? And then it would have, you know, yes, she called there, but it ended up being, I feel like she could have taken one step and done it. And just kind of going back to that, her having the parties, you know, I think she was very lucky that her mom wasn't tech savvy, because I know for a fact those ring notifications of someone's at your front door, yeah, it would have at least rang to her, and she would have been able to see, like, what is she doing? Why are they all coming? Why are her friends there, right? But she wasn't tech savvy. She probably didn't have internet where she was going, which is, I highly doubt she can do that. Like, there's ways that you can connect to Wi-Fi and be able to check, right? So I feel like because she was not tech savvy, she took advantage of her. But that's definitely not going to be me, because obviously IT major here, I am well aware of how it's going to go. But the good part is, because she didn't do this extra step, she called the hotel. She was able to find the resources, kind of get into, like, why her bags were there. And then she was able to use, you know, like, find someone that was over there to, you know, in the country that they were in, and be able to have them run errands, right? It was kind of like the, I don't know, there's an application. I forgot which app she was using here to, like, where you can do a lot of different tasks, like, it's in Task Rabbit, right? So she was able to find, like, a specific Task Rabbit in, was it Argentina or Colombia? One of the two countries down in South America. And then she was able to find someone within, you know, with a win, within a well budget, and be able to have that person kind of help her out. But she was very resourceful. Like, again, she was able to find this guy to kind of go to the hotel, figure out some information, hopefully get the tapes, which was already too late. FBI was slow. They obviously didn't do anything about it. And then she, of course, was able to hack the email of the mother's boyfriend, which was, it's funny for me because that guy is an IT person. And so the way that she hacked it was a lot simpler than normal. I have everything, and I probably shouldn't divulge this, but you know what? I can divulge it because I want to get it out for everybody here. I have everything set up with dual authentication, which should always ring either a code, anything to my phone, and just other different ways for me to be able to get into my account or verify that I'm the one entering it. It's a very good way for you to keep your stuff safe. I do that with all my accounts, including Google. So I would recommend it. If you haven't done it, I would always recommend to, you know, put a pretty unique password, and then as well as put up dual authentication or two-step verification. And that way you're taking the extra step that if someone did want to hack you and they don't have access to the other stuff, they won't be able to get in, and keeps you a lot more safe. So anyway, her mother's boyfriend was supposedly an IT dude, but it was so easy for her to to hack his email. And of course, it's illegal. I'm not going to condone and say, yay, she did it. But again, her desperation to find her mother made her very resourceful, which I really liked. But yeah, that dude obviously was not the best IT person. I probably wouldn't have trusted him with my stuff either. But now we get to a point where she's trying to find out where her mom is, you know, trying to get everything there. And again, you're having this feeling of like, what could have happened? Like, who is this dude that she was dating? Like, how do you know where they met? And then she ends up finding out that they met on a dating app. I didn't meet my wife dating app. I met her organically. And organically doesn't mean, you know, how people say, like, I want it in the organic section. But organically meant, like, I saw my wife back then. I saw her when I attended, you know, a church. And I just eventually started talking to her. And then we just clicked. And then the rest is history. But we, like, physically were talking. We physically were getting to know each other. And that's just how we were able to create a very awesome platonic friendship. And then it ended up, you know, escalating to us being boyfriend and girlfriend, getting married, and so on. So I've never done the dating app scene. So how trustworthy are they? I've heard so many cons of it and some pros, right? I've had coworkers before where they met their spouse through a dating app, and everything turned out great. But I've also heard the other ones where, like, the person was a liar or that was abusive, and so, you know, like, an X amount of things didn't look like their picture, right? So how trustworthy are they? Because, like, this guy came up, but he did some time, but he didn't say where, and they both had a certain past, and it's like his angle, we end up finding out at the end, was that he was, you know, his cellmate was the ex-husband, you know, the one that supposedly had passed away because of a disease. And he had concocted a plan to be able to, one, find the mother, and two, you know, kill her and take the daughter, right? Very abusive. So here's where I present my trigger warning, because then we talk about just a bit of what happened in her past, right? This is where we end up realizing the true story of why she had edited the video, why she decided to move away from all her family and start everything anew, just them two, right? And this is abuse. And understand, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, it's not okay. And I say this in like, I'm not perfect, but like, those things are just not okay. And this one really I liked it because Netflix did kind of add, you know, the first time you watch it, it adds like, if you're ever in these type of situations, you know, here's a number to call for help. And it was, I felt like that was a really great touch, because it shouldn't be taken lightly. And this is just for both men and women. I'm not ruling out that women are not abusive. I'm saying y'all can be abusive as hell. And so just know that it can go both ways. All right. But the abuse just not only affects the person getting abused, but it also affects the kids too. Right. So that's why the mom, luckily the girl, you know, Junebug was young enough to not remember any of those things. And then the mom was able to kind of just kind of get her the memory until, like, your dad was loving. And unfortunately, he died of a sickness. Right. You know, that's where you realize, like, all the sacrifices the mother had to do. So now we get to this point where we're trying to find again where they were last off. And now those live webcams, are they real? I checked them out. They are. You just have to kind of, like, search very well for them. But, yeah, they are. So I think it's just very interesting. I love the fact that when she's getting close to finding out what's going on with the mother, they get an anonymous source. Of course, the abusive husband was smart, but the daughter, of course, was smarter. And I read that word for word of how I wrote it, so if it sounded very scripted, I apologize for that. He was very smart, so he tried to get her off her tail, and he was like, "Hey, here, you know, like, check out this video that we," and, you know, he ended up doing it with, you know, like, having Kevin do, and so, yeah, just. It just ends up being terrible, right? Like, she ends up seeing this video, and the FBI believes it, that the mom was taken. So now they don't know what's going on. They see the transfers on their funds and so on and so forth. And the one thing I hate about this is that the FBI is dumb as fuck. Like, they don't do shit to help her out at all. And I apologize, but I was very frustrated that they're like, "We're going to take this off of strides." And I'm like, she was able to find faster where the mom was before the FBI even had any clue of what was going on, right? And so now we get this opportunity that they get this source, but yet they believe it, and so then the mom's fully aware, you know, like, fully off, and then, you know, now we're at the point where now they don't need to protect her because, hey, like, your mom's basically dead, right? Like, there's no way to save her. But the one thing that I liked when all this was happening was that her friend was asking the questions, like, that they would ask when they were watching that show, like, that crime show, which were valid points. They were actual good points. But because she was like, "This is not a show. This is my mother we're talking about," I don't think she wanted to see it. But I felt like she brought up good points to keep in mind. Like, okay, if this were our crime story, you know, what are the questions we would really ask? And I feel like that's where we have to get into. Like, I'm glad she had a really good friend who really was like, "Hey, we need to think this out of the box. Like, do you really think this would be it?" And obviously, it wasn't, right? We obviously know that the abusive ex-husband was the one who led everything to have this there. So before we continue on to this, we're going to take a little break, and then we will be right back. All right, welcome back. All right, so I felt bad. Like, we get to the point that we realize the whole story of the mother, right? Husband was abusive, and she needed a way out. He was very controlling, because I think he was the tech guru, because he was able to find all her searches, like, "You're never going to leave me," all this and that, everything that she was finding. So obviously, she had to do everything in incognito mode. And then, you know, she had to do what she had to do. She realized that the abusive husband was also dealing drugs, so she found his stash and reported him to the authorities, and he got put away for about 10, 10-ish years, right? And when she did that, then she had to figure out, okay, how am I going to get through this with it being, you know, like not costing me a lot of money, him not finding where we are, kind of like, what do you call those, the protective services, right? So she had to find all that information and get through there. And luckily she found an amazing lawyer who was willing to do her, give her services for her to find her place, change her name, do all that stuff, all pro bono. And if you don't know what that word means, pro bono means no charge. And a lot of lawyers offer pro bono services, not often, but when you get that opportunity to get a pro bono, it's because they're doing it out of the bestness of their heart. Others because they have to do community service. I don't know how it works, but anyway, she was so willing to do it, which was her friend who was always there with them, and she was working with her. So like, it was really nice to see that someone was willing who dealt with, you know, abusive relationships and all these type of cases, that she was willing to do this and help her out. And then we see why she edited the video. She didn't want June to remember her father as an abusive bastard. And so we see everything that she did. And then it came up again. It comes up to now that we realize that she was getting close. Her abusive dad was actually viewing her screen the whole time. That's how he knew she was getting close. So again, always protect your electronics, good antivirus, multi-factor authentication, and permissions where no one can link to your computer. You know, like, make sure you're covering all your bases. So that way you're not getting someone always looking at your screen. Just keep it there. But anyway, he was always watching her. And it was just very interesting that the whole time that she was finding out the clues, he was like, oh, like, she's getting closer, right? Like, I got to do something. And so then that's when he ends up, you know, coming in and trying to kind of wean her away of what she was finding out, right? Because she ended up finding out that he had, you know, the ex-boyfriend or Kevin had installed a camera. She ended up getting the access to that camera, and then she ended up finding the cameras in the house, and then that's when he appeared, because he's like, man, she found me. And so tried to go and get her to stop, you know, like to say, hey, I'm here, and this is what we need to do, you know, like, I'm not dead, your mother's a liar, and blah, blah, blah. So trying to make it look like the mom was the problem and not him, right? Again, I feel like this all could have been solved with the mother being open with the daughter. I get it. When it comes to abusive relationships, it's rough. You don't know how to explain it to your kids. Me coming from a family of an abusive relationship, you know, I never understood why it escalated to that way, but I was never one to ignore it, right? Like, I knew it happened. I knew it was incorrect. When it ended up getting too far and it ended up leading to the divorce, it made so much sense to me. It just was like, well, yeah, why would you do that, right? So for me, it was just like, okay, cool, totally get it. So the part that the mom doesn't know or doesn't confide in her daughter to tell her, hey, I want to tell you the real story. Like, this is the reason why we're here in LA, reason why that I've told you that we don't have any family back home, which we do. It would have, I think, helped her out to realize that once her dad showed up, it would have been like, wait a minute, mom told me that you're abusive, so you're the one who has mom. Like, I think it would have clicked a lot sooner for her to be like, oh, wait. But I love that that he shows up to try to, you know, figure out what's going on and kind of get her into it. And then he steals her and takes her to the house, right? And there she's able to find her mom. The mom fights her way and gets to June, then gets shot. But then, you know, June does the amazing thing, right? Like, one, the mom does the best. Even when she's shot, even when she's shot, you know, she still has the energy enough to stab him on, you know, like on the neck with the broken glass, and which shows that a parent will always protect their child to their last breath. Like, she did it for her baby. I thought it was awesome. I was like, yes, he deserved it, right? But I love the part that she realized when she was looking at the cameras at home that there's a camera right here, and she had left her phone there. So she did the quirkiest thing, because her mom the whole time would always be like, hey, Siri, call so-and-so. And then, like, Siri would already call, and she's like, hey, Siri. And you're like, and so she did the quirkiest thing where she's like, hey, Siri. And then she heard the bling, right? Call 911. And able to get them saved. And I love that whole point where you see the cops come in, see that they're, you know, there, and they look at the mom, they do all this stuff, and all of a sudden you see it's not June anymore, and you're like, what the hell? And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, it's the show they were watching. They made an episode of them. So I thought that was pretty cool to end it. Like, here you go. They're now an episode. At the beginning, she said, you know, like, you start seeing this whole show and start talking about the facts of that episode, and now they're part of it. So I thought it was really cool. And then the mom and her have a great relationship, because they, you know, they realize what had happened. Now, I think what great is that now that he was no longer in the picture, I bet they were able to communicate and reconnect with all their family members back home, which made it, I think, a lot better for them. And I love at the end that she is being more willing to say, I love you, mom. And the mom plays around and gives her a thumbs up, just exactly how her daughter did, but still tell her, I love you. And so I loved how the ending turned out. I'm glad it turned out very happy. I was like in all awe. And the fact that the daughter realized, like, Dad, you're alive. But then realizing that, wait a minute, you took mom. I saw you in the camera. You're the one. Like, the way that she pieced it was like, wait a minute. If you really wanted to come, you could have just came, right? So I loved how, even though this was, you know, a way of her being shocked at a bit, I loved how she pieced it up together to, in the end, see the true colors of the dad, to realize, my mom had done this for me. She stopped, you know, everything. She hid herself. She had this best friend that I thought was annoying, who ended up getting killed by my dad. And all because that lady helped my mom start a new life away from her abusive husband. And so I thought it was really cool to see at the end that their relationship got a lot stronger. They didn't hide anything anymore. And it just ended up really great. And again, like I said, when you watch it the first time, Netflix does add, like, a little advisory if you're going through any of these things. Here's the websites that you can go to. So I thought it was really cool. And I recommend you to watch this if you want to be thrilled. It was really good. Again, it's not a supernatural horror. It's a very good thriller. And I highly recommend it. And so that was this week's movie. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will see you guys next time.
Are prone to scare easily, avoiding all the scary horror movies you'll never watch but are intrigued to. Geo and Alex watch and review, so you don't have